If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And no one's home.
So now what? We keep looking. The town's not that big.
Only so many places these freaks can burrow. Where the hell is Sinclair?
Dustin! Can you call me? Dustin!
Lucas! Where the hell have you been?
Just listen.
Are you guys looking for Eddie?
Yeah, and we found him, no thanks to you.
You found him?
He's at a boathouse on Coal Mill Road. Don't worry, he's safe.
You guys know he killed Chrissy, right?
That's bullshit. Eddie tried to save Chrissy.
Then why do all the cops say he didn't?
Lucas, you're so behind, it's ridiculous, okay? Just meet us at the school. We'll explain later.
I can't. I think some real bad shit's about to go down.
What are you talking about? What bad shit?
Sinclair!
Lucas? Lucas!
What the hell were you doing?
I was looking for clues.
Clues? What, freshman think he's Sherlock Holmes or something?
Yo, let's go.
I found one.
What?
A clue. I know where Eddie's hiding.
Stranger danger, talking stranger things. Together, forever, we're loving stranger things. It's Stranger Things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to Stranger Things Forever. Yes, I am finally back with a new episode for the first time in a few weeks. For the first time this entire month, actually, and I have a fairly good excuse for that. It's that I've been working on another project. It's a non-Stranger Things project that happens all August long, or should I say all Jogist long. Back in 2020, I started a project called Jogist, where every day in August, I would watch Jaws, and every day in Jogist, see what I did there? Every day in August, I would podcast about it. And of course, I called it Jogist. It was kind of a play on my movie month that I do every year where I watch a different movie every day. This time it was watching the same movie every day. That in turn turned into Marchy McFly, which every day in March I watched Back to the Future and podcast about it every day. While Marchy McFly kept going, I did Marchy McFly for part 2, Marchy McFly for part 3. I did Marchy McFly for the cartoons. And then this past March, I did Marchy McFive, where I watched Back to the Future the entire month. I watched a few minutes every day, catching up to the entire month and just focused on those minutes in the movie, which sounds familiar because I got the idea from Stranger Things Forever, which really I got the idea from Star Wars Minute, but they do it 1 minute at a time. That would take me a good 5 million years to do. So Joggist became Marty McFly. Well, it kind of morphed into or inspired Marty McFly. Then Stranger Things Forever inspired Marty McFive, and Marty McFive is what made me think I can do this again for Joggist. I did Joggist in 2020. Now, in 2021, there was no way I was going to watch Jaws 2, Jaws 3, or Jaws the Revenge every day in August. But what I did do was on the first day of Joggist, every month every year, I did one episode for part 2, part 3, and part 4, and then there was nothing. 2024 came along, and I was like, Joggist is done. But then I realized it's the 50th anniversary of Jaws, just like it was the 40th anniversary of Back to the Future. I had to bring Joggist back. So all month long, I have been watching and talking about 4 minutes of Jaws at a time, and it lines up almost perfectly where every single day I talk 4 minutes, and on the final day, you'll see the final seconds of Jaws at the end of the credits. And that's kind of been my major excuse. My minor excuse is, you know, I've just been also spending time with my wife. She taught in summer school, but that ended in August. So I've had time off. I've had half days. We've done a lot of day trips together. We've had a lot of fun. And August is also a big month in my family as a whole. As I am recording this, it is August 16th. Today is my dad's birthday, and it's my mom and dad's anniversary, and it's my uncle's birthday, who happens to be my godfather. It's not a twin thing. There's no twin thing going on. It's not my dad's brother. It's actually my mom's brother. What a weird thing that my mom got married on her brother's birthday. Oh, and it also happens to be her husband's birthday. But if you go back 12 days, it was my birthday. If you go back 2 days, it's my brother's anniversary with my wife's sister. Yes, if you don't know this, my brother is married to my wife's sister. And in 4 days from now, it's going to be my niece's birthday. So August is a crazy time in my family. Plus, I'm celebrating Joggist all month long. If I did all year long, oh my God. All month long, and yet I still wanted to take some time to say hello to you, the Stranger Friends, to let you know that I'm still here. And starting in September, you're going to see a lot more of Stranger Things Forever. Hopefully, I'll also get some book clubs in there. But really, Stranger Things Forever is the primary goal, is to get this show completed, get my rewatch completed, and get ready for Stranger Things 5. At this point, right now, we have 102 days until Stranger Things 5 comes out. And I, for one, cannot wait. But it turns out I have to. We all have to. But we will. We will wait. We will get there. And in the meantime, we will focus on other things, namely Stranger Things 4. So before we jump into the next 10 minutes, I wanted to talk about an article that I saw from a couple days ago in relation to Matt and Ross Duffer, the Duffer brothers, the creator of Stranger Things. And it's an interesting one as far as the overall future of Stranger Things as a world, as an expanded universe. Or maybe it isn't. I'm not entirely sure. The title of the article says Stranger Things creators Matt and Ross Duffer negotiating Netflix exit for massive Paramount overall deal. That is of interest to me because, well, if you've seen in the news, Paramount, I think it merged with Skydance and it's become this giant conglomerate, even bigger than it's been, I guess. And they are in the midst of trying to bring in content. I think they, one of the big things I saw was they made a giant deal with UFC to bring in like all, like to get rid of their pay-per-views and have every UFC match on, every UFC like major event on Paramount Plus. Then I saw they had a huge deal with the South Park guys, and now they're having a huge deal with the Duffer Brothers. So just to go through the article, it says, in Hollywood's cutthroat deal-making ecosystem, stranger things often happen. Ooh, like Matt and Ross Duffer moving from Netflix for a rich new overall deal at Paramount. The Duffer Brothers, creator of Stranger Things, are, I'm going to paraphrase this a bit, are in advanced negotiations to exclusively create film and television with an emphasis on tentpole movies at the Legacy Studio just taken over by David Ellison's Skydance. So it's not just Paramount Plus things. It's also making movies for Paramount Studios, which I assume could also be in the theater or maybe on Stranger on Paramount Plus. It says that the move would reunite the Duffers with Cindy Holland, Paramount's new head of streaming, who greenlit Stranger Things at Netflix. Okay. She knows something about these two Duffers. The pair would also work with Josh Greenstein and Dana Goldberg, who share film and series creative duties. Reps for the Duffers give no immediate comment. The Duffers do still have a considerable business with Netflix through their production company Upside Down Pictures, run by producing partner Hillary Leavitt, or Leavitt. They've completed production on two new series set to debut in 2026. Non-Stranger Things series, an adventure series with Bill Pullman, Gina Davis, Alfred Woodard, and Alfred Molina. So an adventure series with not focusing, exact opposite of teens. These are older people. Bill Pullman, I knew him first from Spaceballs. Obviously, most people probably know him from Independence Day. Gina Davis has been around forever. Alfred Woodard has been around forever. Alfred Molina has been around forever. He's probably best known as Dr. Octopus. In Spider-Man 2 and No Way Home. And they're doing a relationship horror series. Something very bad is going to happen with Jennifer Jason Leigh. I know it's Jennifer Jason Leigh. That is an ongoing joke that only my brother and I would get that it says Leigh. If you know any movie where it shows the spelling of Lee as L-E-I-G-H and the character says, it says leg, then you get this joke, which means pretty much everyone listening does not get that joke. But I'm not going to explain it as it's an inside joke for me and my brother. But if you get it, congratulations. A preview, it also says a preview of the upcoming animated prequel Stranger Things Tales from 85 was screened recently. And following the fifth and final season of Stranger Things, the brothers are expected to mount an as-yet unannounced live-action spinoff series. So it seems like they're still, maybe their deal is, you can have everything we do except Stranger Things that stays over with Netflix. The rest of the article just kind of gives a little history about the Duffers, and they actually, I think they had a directorial debut that Warner Brothers sat on for years, and then they ultimately put it out on video on demand. But M. Night Shyamalan liked their script and ended up hiring them for his 2015 series Wayward Pines. And how it talks about Stranger Things was turned down by just by every network in the industry until Sean Levy's 21 Laps came aboard and sold the show to Netflix. So, is it a big deal? Yes. Is it a big deal for Netflix? Yes. Is it a big deal for the Duffers? Yes. Is it a big deal for Stranger Things? I don't think so. Because I feel like what they're saying is Upside Down, you know, Productions is continuing to work with Netflix. So maybe the Duffers will have a little more of a hands-off approach with the spinoff series. That's my guess. Or it's just like everything we work on except Netflix, except Stranger Things, that stays with Netflix. That's exclusive to Netflix. But everything else we do is now Paramount. I don't know, but it is of interest. So I definitely wanted to talk about it. So, okay, now let's jump into the next 10 minutes of The Monster and the Superhero. So we're doing minutes 40 to 50, and we pick up with Max still talking to the counselor. And, you know, the counselor was making her think of Billy. So she was like, I live next door to where the murder happened. The counselor's like, what? It's like, yeah, where Chrissy was murdered. I live right next door. And the cops were asking me a bunch of questions. Like, did they talk to you at all? And she's like, you know, I can't discuss other patrons, other students. You wouldn't want me talking about any other students, you know, about you to any other students, would you? And I love Max's response. You'd think some kids would be like, no, I guess not. She's like, yeah, if I were dead and it could help catch the person who killed me, yes, I would. She's like, why don't we just leave that to the police? And I love that she's like, oh, yes. The police, they totally have that handled. Right, right. Can I use your bathroom? And then she goes up the steps. Now, I'm wondering what she was planning to do. She was probably just planning to leave. That's my guess, that she was just going to bail. But she went up the steps to go to the bathroom, and she noticed this little ashtray, I don't know what you, a little dish of keys. And she saw one that said the office. I don't know if she just thought this really quick, but she grabbed them and she ran. She gets back to the car with Steve and Dustin, and she's like, let's get out of here. She's like, they're like, what? Drive, drive. And they scream the hell out of there. We jump over to Jason and Patrick and Lucas and other guy as they pull up in front of the Henderson household. And I really don't like the way Jason is pounding on this door. Jason, if you think that Dustin's home, if you think that Dustin's mother is home, Dustin's parents, you don't know his living situation, maybe ring the doorbell and wait a second. Now, maybe he did. Maybe he rang three or four times and now he's banging on the door. But I would not take kindly to some prick high school kid showing up in my house and pounding on the door like that. He pounds on the door. Nobody's there. And so he's like, well, I guess we should just give up. They're looking in the house. They don't see anything. They're creeps. They're looking in the house as creeps want to do. And that's when they turn back to the van and they see that Lucas isn't there. Where the hell is Sinclair? And this is when you realize the whole time Lucas has always been on our side. He's just kind of keeping his enemies closer. And when he sees a moment that he can at least try to help out his friends, he dives through Dustin's window. That's the thing. He knows Dustin. He knows where you can get into his room, and he dives into his window and jumps right on Cerebro and immediately calls up Dustin to get through to him and tell him what's going on. Now, he doesn't quite do that, does he? He's like, Dustin. They're like, Lucas, where the hell are you? And Lucas is like, wait, listen, have you guys been looking for Eddie? They're like, yeah, we found him. No thanks to you. And he tells him exactly where it is. And your first thought was, ooh, Dustin, you shouldn't have done that. But why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he do that for Lucas? And honestly, he's right. But if someone overheard that, that would be bad. So he's like, you guys know he killed Chrissy, right? They're like, bullshit, that didn't happen. Like, what are you talking about? He tried to save Chrissy. And then Max gets on and goes, Dustin, you are so far behind all of us. Just meet us at the school and we'll fill you in on everything. And he's like, I can't. I think some real bad shit's about to go down. They're like, what are you talking about? And that's when you see that they see him in the room, but luckily they did not see him on the radio. So they're like, Sinclair, he comes out. They're like, what were you doing in there? He's like, I was searching for clues. And they gave up pretty easy. They're like, huh, what are you, some sort of Sherlock Holmes or something? They turn to walk away and he goes, I found one. I know where they're keeping Eddie. Now, we know that he does know where Eddie is hiding. And now we know that he told Jason that he knows where Eddie is hiding. But I wonder if at the time, how many of us actually believed, oh my goodness, he is going to sell Eddie and his friends out here. He's going to use this to get in Jason's good side, to help the basketball squad. And oh my God, he is going to rat Eddie out. I wonder how many of us actually thought that, or if we thought, oh, there is no way. There is no way that Lucas is going to turn on his friends like that. The fact that he risked jumping in Luke in Dustin's room and calling them alone should tell you that we still can trust Lucas. But what is he going to tell Jason? We jump over to 11, who where we last saw was being arrested and taken away by somebody, by some sort of police, some sort of corrections officers. And those officers are now taking this van down this long road where 11 is kind of left alone with her thoughts. And she's just like thinking. She's thinking about when she smashed that B, Angela, right in the face. She's thinking about that first thing we saw early on in the first episode of Stranger Things 4 with the massacre at the Hawkins lab. And she's kind of going back and forth between thinking of Angela all bloodied and all those kids that were all bloodied in the lab. And she's just kind of like focused on that. And then all of a sudden gets distracted by the fact that there are three 80s looking like long cars coming up and cutting off this van, which gets you nervous right away, because I have to be honest, I kind of don't remember everything that's happening here. This woman gets out of the car that looks like she's some sort of badass, some sort of federal agent. She's like, you got Jane Hopper? We'll take it from here. And they're like, okay. They show a badge. They seem federal, and federal agents mad because I'm flagrant. She smashes out of there while the door opens, tries to get away. These two dudes grab her. I don't like the way they're treating her. And then out of one of the cars comes the man that we have learned to trust, Dr. Samuel Owens, who, where we last saw, did not talk about Jane to that scary army guy, that general dude, General A-hole, I think was his name. So he's definitely covering for her, and he knows where she was, and I'm guessing they went to find her and found out, oh no, that girl got arrested. What? He's like, she can't go into the system. So then he has whatever team, whatever sort of resources he has, he used them to track her down and get custody of her, or at least know where she is. And they do take her. I guess technically they take custody of her. So I assume the arrest goes away. They're going to be like, yep, federal agents, we're making it go away. And you think about the police officers back in Hawkins or back in California. They're going to be like, wait, that girl who smashed the other girl with a roller skate, federal agents took her? What the heck is going on here? Of course, wait till they see what happens to the rest of that house. Then there must be a lot of questions just by the local PDs alone. But we don't cut back to her. We don't see Jonathan, Mike, or Will in this 10 minutes, but we do cut back to the Alaska airplane. They've landed in Alaska. Murray and Joyce get off. There's snow like crazy. And Murray's like, this is spring and it's freezing. It's snowing, but they have arrived. She had to wake Murray up, but they get off, and they've done this more than once where they use the snow of the area, or they move from they segue from Murray and Joyce over to Hopper in Kamchatka. My assumption is it is the same day, or it's the evening, and they are done with their work. So all the workers are being brought in, and before they're sent back to their room, they're all being checked real quick, their heads, their hats, and see if they have anything under their hats, and their leg irons. So they grab all these different prisoners' leg irons. They grab Hopper's, and he kind of winces and he's just tries not to react. And they're like, all right, next. They let him go. We see him back in his cell and he's taking off his foot that is all wrapped up. And there is a giant gash on it. It looks gross, but it gives him just enough slack to work on that iron, that ring that's around his ankle. And he is squeezing it. But he can't scream. He can't react. He can't freak out it looks like he's about to get it over his heel, but it is disgusting. I'm grossed out just thinking about it. So we jump over to the library where Robin and Nancy are going through a bunch of microfiche, old newspapers. They're finding all these things about Victor Creel. But it's just like the regular news stuff, like, you know, Victor Creel convicted of murder, blah, blah, blah. And Robin's like, what are we looking for? And Nancy's like, I don't really know. This was probably a waste of time. So you're probably bored from this. So we probably shouldn't even be doing this anyway. So let's just go. Okay, we can go back. And you can go back and hang out with Steve. And she's like, you know, I'm not, like, Steve and I are not an item, right? She's like, what? Because I know you and Jonathan are like the great couple and everything. But I just don't want it to be awkward between us because of you and Steve. We are just platonic friends. Like, there is nothing between us. And she's like, okay, all right, that's fine. No big deal. And Nancy is kind of being really, like, not nice, I have to say. While Robin, you know, Robin talks a lot, but Robin's cool. Okay, be cool to Robin. So while Robin, they're looking around and stuff and talking, Robin opens a drawer and sees a newspaper called the Weekly Watcher. And she's like, oh, the Weekly Watcher. I didn't even know they still had that. I didn't know they had that here. And Nancy's like, oh, that's the thing talking about alien abductions. And it's basically like the Hawkins version of the Weekly World News. The Weekly World News was a very real, I don't know, it might still be a real newspaper that every story, I think, was just about fake. You know, you'd meet Bat Boy and Elvis is meeting aliens. And literally, just like it said on the front of this, talking about aliens and celebrities and aliens, like all of that was like every week with the Weekly World News. Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, aliens, and Bat Boy. I used to love going grocery shopping with my mother and saying, hey, can I get, she would sometimes get me the Weekly World News, which was just, it was comedic drivel. And I loved looking through the crazy, stupid stories. So Nancy's fairly dismissive about, you know, the idea of looking through the Weekly Watcher. But Nancy's like, are we looking for something about a demon? Don't you think perhaps the Weekly Watcher is the perfect newspaper to look through? So she's going through it, through the microfilm. And Nancy's kind of like looking through some other things. And Robin, you know, very jokingly, or it sounds like she's jokingly, she says dramatically, Victor Creel claims an ancient demon killed family. And Nancy's like, ha ha, funny. She goes, no, I'm serious. And they both come over, look at the microfilm. We see the cover of the Weekly Watcher, the Victor Creel claims ancient demon killed family. It says the murder that shocked a small community. Was it a triple homicide or demonic ritual? I think I can read some of it. It says Roane County prosecutors successfully argued that Victor Creel, 40, is a cold-blooded killer responsible for the brutal slayings of his beautiful wife, Virginia, and their two innocent children, Alice, 15, and little Henry, 13. Little Henry Creel. Those two beautiful innocent children. Oh, that's it. That's time. We've hit the 50-minute mark, and that is the end of this episode. So what did we learn in these 10 minutes? Well, Max didn't get much information from the guidance counselor, but she did steal her keys and they're going to go rummage through her office to see if they can figure something, get some information. Lucas, he is with a bunch of pricks who are not looking to help Eddie or Dustin or anybody except themselves, as they are on the hunt. They think that Lucas is helping them and has a clue because Lucas actually helped his friends. Now, his friends did tell him exactly where Eddie is. And then he says, I know where Eddie is, but there's no chance he would ever turn on his friends. 11, we see, was taken away by police, but then all these cars showed up and Dr. Owens is like, hey, kiddo. So now she's with Dr. Owens. Mike, Will, and Jonathan, we don't see them in this 10 minutes. They have no idea where she is. Joyce and Murray have landed in Alaska. And Nancy and Robin seem to be on some sort of trail where they have found a little more information about the ancient demon that quite possibly killed the Creel family. Ooh. But that's it. That's another 10 minutes. Now, the next 10 minutes, the next episode of Stranger Things Forever is the end of Chapter 3. That's we finished Chapter 3 and we can jump right into Chapter 4. I do not know. I may get another episode out before the end of the month. But I definitely wanted to say hi to everybody and let you know that I'm still here, let you know that I'm still doing things. If you have any interest in Jaws, please check out my podcast over at fans.experts.com. The podcast is Geek Mentality. It is kind of my main podcast where I go to do all these special projects. In fact, Stranger Danger was one of these special projects. It was a podcast that I posted on Geek Mentality and its own podcast feed. And then I think I did it that way. And then I eventually, either that or I moved it to its own podcast feed. But it did start at Geek Mentality. But it's now, obviously, it's its own thing. And that's where momentum picked up. And I found all you Stranger friends to listen to this show. And I really, really do appreciate that you're still listening after all these years. What did I say? 102 days in about 25 minutes. It's 101 days. We're getting closer. We're getting closer, my friends. But that's it. I am done. I will talk to you soon. But in the meantime, you can follow me on all the social medias at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is now Geek Mentality Mike. You can follow me, the show, on Blue Sky at StrangerDangerPodcast.com on Blue Sky, or just go to StrangerDangerPodcast.com to get every episode of Stranger Danger. You can also find us on Facebook at Fans.Experts and on YouTube at Fans.Experts. That's because the home website where Stranger Danger actually lives, it's fans.experts.com. You go there to find everything I'm working on and have worked on for years and years and years for all of you stranger friends. That's it. I'm done. I will talk to you soon, my friends. But remember, stay stranger, and it are fans like you and fans like me who will be around to keep Stranger Things alive for ever.
Fans Not Experts.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.